Poland National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History. This is Gail Weisberg, interviewer. Respondent's name is Fanny Cohen. The date is March 1st, 1983. Fanny, let's start at the beginning. Could you tell me a little bit about your parents? And you might tell me your maiden name, since I do know that you are married.
Yeah, my maiden name was Fanny Mattes, M-A-T-T-E-S. My father and mother were Russian immigrants. Do you want to know what he did?
I'd love to know anything about your parents' names.
All right. Yeah, my mother's maiden name was Cohen. No relation to my husband's family. She was a real Cain. My husband was not. His father was not a real Cain. My father was. I'm not sure. I know exactly where they came from, but my father worked for the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company there for many, many years after. Not immediately after he came, of course. He had to learn a language. He had all the problems that other immigrants had.
Right.
I don't know that I can tell you anything more specifically about him.
How old was your father when he came here from Russia?
I'm not at all sure. He must have been maybe late 20s because he had a lot of children by then.
When he came, and he brought children with him.
Yes.
He was married to mother in Russia, and they
That's
came
right.
with their family.
Right.
Did they settle here in Pittsburgh immediately?
Yes. There was family here.
Oh,
my mother had a brother here who preceded her here. And this is where they settled. She also had some sisters that came over approximately the same time.
Uh-huh.
So they all settled here.
So your parents were both from the same place in
area,
Russia?
Yes. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your brothers and sisters then.
Well, they were all, my sister was about a year and a half older than I.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brothers started about 10 years older than she.
Okay.
So they were really, there was a lot of difference in our ages. And I had four or five brothers and a sister. I understand there were other children, too, who died in Russia, but I don't even know how many there were.
So you're saying how many came from Russia to the United States with your parents?
There were, I think, five boys. My sister and I were born in the United States. My youngest brother was about a year and a half old when he came from Russia. That is the youngest of the five.
Right, I understand. And then they took a little break and they had a United States family.
Yes, my sister and I
right.
were United States family, correct.
Okay. Did their parents come with them from Russia to the United States?
I'm not sure whether my father came first and that my mother followed with the children. I think that's what happened, but I'm not entirely sure.
What about their parents? Did they leave your great-grandparents?
Oh,
I
have no idea.
Did they stay in Russia?
I have no idea. Oh, they must have. They never came to this country.
Uh-huh.
I really don't know too much about anybody beyond. There's my mother right there.
Oh, that is a beautiful picture.
Yes, yes.
Is that a painting?
It's a painted from a photograph, just an old snapshot, which my sister had took down to Kaufman's many years ago. And they enlarged it, and there was a woman down there that was doing hand painting. That was my mother, was quite a young woman.
Yes.
But you can see she was a Russian lady.
And you can see that she has a long skirt.
That's
on.
Right. So this was when she was quite a young woman. She was ill, and she had to go to the mountains, and that's where that was taken. And it was just an old little snapshot.
Oh, that turned out just beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That is interesting.
She was a very beautiful, elegant woman.
Did you have any other cousins or other family here?
Oh, yes, yes. I had my mother's brother's name was Harry Cohen, and he had three daughters. And we were, of course, they were my first cousins, and we were very close to them.
Were they around your age, your three cousins?
Yes, yes. Both my sisters and my age. They were all very close.
Since the history of the family is important to National Council of Jewish Women, are there any other relatives or anything else that you think we might be interested in knowing about?
Oh, I don't don't know that anybody's really, my family's really made any mark that's worth speaking about. They all did what a lot of other immigrants did. Their children grew up, they educated them, and they were all very successful. But I don't know that there's any one that did them anything particularly outstanding that would be of very special interest.
When you were growing up in Pittsburgh, can you remember the home or the homes that you lived in?
Sure, absolutely. I remember, the first time I remember was when I was about 4.
Uh-huh.
And that was on Granville Street.
Granville
Street.
Uh-huh.
I was around 4 years old at that time. Then we moved to Bedford Avenue for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved to Cliff Street for a while. And by that time, it was time to get off the hill.
Were your parents always renting these homes?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And then we bought a house on North St. Clair Street in East End, 1118. And that's where I lived until I got married. My father died, and then I got married, and that was the end of that house.
When you were growing up, what part did religion play in your family life?
My mother observed all of the Orthodox religion,
mm-hmm.
holidays, changing dishes at Passover, sticking the knives in the dirt, knives in the dirt, whatever. Yes,
right.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Changing the board on the thing, on the sink. My father wasn't too fussy, but he went along with it all. We attended the old Beth Abraham Synagogue, which there's nothing left now there is a tiny little room on Bartlett Street, and they do have a cemetery.
Bartlett here in Squirrel Hill?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a very old house just off Murray Avenue there, and they do have the cemetery out in Tarrant. I think it's Tarrant, yes. And that was our synagogue, and it was in, I think, on Miller Street. I'm not sure. It was in the Hill District somewhere. And I guess I went to, there was a Sunday school, Sabbath school, I think we called it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Sabbath school. And that was about it.
I know there was a large age distance between
uh-huh.
your sister and your brothers, but was it different for your brothers than it was for
yes,
the girls?
Yes, entirely, because they came over with my parents and were growing up in my father's struggling years. And they had a very hard time because they had to, there wasn't all that much money to be able to do. Not that there was that much money when we came around, but when we, my sister and I came, by that time my father was able to earn more money. As a matter of fact, I think the first thing he did without language was he was a night guard at the Phipps power plant, as I remember. I think he told me that, yes. But he didn't need the language for that.
Where was the Phipps? Power plant?
I'm not sure. Maybe on the north side. I'm really not entirely sure.
We're talking a little bit now about economics. What can you remember when you were growing up about the family money situation?
I can't remember that we always didn't have enough food on the table. My mother at that time cooked everything from scratch, did all the washing on a washboard. There was always strudel. There was always homemade pickles. There was always homemade bread. Holidays were always full. I have no idea where the money came from, but I can't remember. Well, of course, ice balls were a penny then, so there was no problem with that.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You didn't get an allowance, but I can't remember. My mother made clothes for my sister and me, my sister in blue and me in pink always. I can't remember that we ever had any real luxury at that time, but we're never deprived of the kinds of things that made for a comfortable home.
Two questions that I just thought of. Was there a reason why your sister was in blue and you were in pink? Or
no, that was my mother's choice. She used to make little organdy dresses and all kinds of little hats and things
right.
at that time. That was her way. She wanted Bess in blue and she wanted me in pink, and that's the way it was. Well, of course, my sister was light colored hair and light eyes.
And your mother thought that was
She probably thought that was suitable for Bess, and I, of course, pink would be good for me, as you can see.
Right.
still wearing a pink top. I'm still wearing pink.
I love it. I didn't ask you this, and I meant to ask you this. When we were talking about religious customs in the house, you said your mother changed the board on the sink. In my ignorance, I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't know whether she changed the board, but she covered the board. You know, there in those days they had, I think, wooden boards on the sink. Which
you mean
were
like over the board where it would be a board kind of thing?
Not really, no. The sink board, you know, I'm talking about in those days, like a drain board was part of your sink. Instead of having the nice plastic tops that you have now, you had a drain board on the side. And I'm speaking a little louder because I want to be sure I'm heard. And those, as I remember, were made of wood. Mm-hmm. So you covered them over. I didn't mean that you changed the drain board, but you covered them over so to be sure that they were pasted in for instance.
I see. Okay.
Right?
You didn't know
I had all this Jewish behind me. I mean, people think I'm Gentile. They've always thought I'm Christian.
With a name like Fanny Cohen.
No, I know, but before I was married, and many people, Mattis didn't mean anything, and many people thought I was not Jewish. Okay. I don't know what they thought I was. But.
I know that you're deeply involved with culture now.
Yeah,
and we'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about growing up. Was there a culture of music in your home?
My father loved music, and he always had some of the old Red Seal records like Gallicherchi and Benjamin Gili and I've forgotten some of the, and even some of the instrumentalists. He never had too many, but he used to play them over and over again.
On a
Victrola.
On a Victrola, right.
Yeah, I'm talking about a Victrola with one of those, you know, like his master's voice type of thing. Okay? That's what we had. You crank it up and it plays.
Did you go to any plays or any...
No. We were, as children, we belonged to the Irene Kaufman's Ike's in the Hit District.
Uh-huh.
So that was our whole cultural, all our culture. Whatever went on there is the only thing we were able to do.
When we're talking about growing up, let's discuss discipline a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How did your parents discipline you? Were you and your sister?
I can't remember being, quote, aware of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
We did what we were told to do. We were bad sometimes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We fought sometimes, of course. But I don't remember that discipline was ever something that you thought about. The household was such that you just did whatever was required. You behaved. Oh, sometimes you went off and when you shouldn't have, and you got either a licking or a good scolding. I remember once going out looking for sunflower seeds, and we got sunflower plants. And we got delayed, and came home late, and that was bad. And we got a thrashing. However, these are unusual.
Right.
I'm talking about the day-to-day feeling that you're part of a household, you fit it in, and that was it. In those days, nobody knew anything about finding yourself, finding your brother, or finding anything else. You just grew up with your family the way it was.
You've lived in Pittsburgh your whole life, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Can you contrast, and maybe this will be hard for you, but can you contrast Pittsburgh then, Pittsburgh now? At that period when we're talking about, say, before you were married, or?
Well, of course, first of all, I lived in a different place. I lived in the Hill District,
mm-hmm.
and was surrounded by many Jewish people. Of course, now I'm in Squirrel Hill, and I'm surrounded by many Jewish people, so.
Not bad.
No, I'm very pleased, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very pleased. I don't know that it was just such an entirely different era, because most of the people were in my father's and mother's position of struggling, making their homes, trying to do something for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a different world now.
What did your father finally do? You were telling us that he worked for this Fitz power plant.
Yeah, but that was in the beginning. I don't know what he did immediately after that, but eventually, when he learned the language, he became an agent for the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company,
uh-huh.
and was with them for many, many years. I can't really help you out on too much. It's so hard to define what life was
given.
Let's
talk a little bit about school then.
Okay, I went to Lecce School on Center Avenue in the Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I bought dill pickles at the grocery store for lunch, after lunch, and put them in my desk for an afternoon snack.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it was an all-white school then. The Hill was all white.
What grade did you go up to in school?
At Lecce, I must have gone through eighth grade there. I can't remember. I was about 12 years old when we moved to East End. So maybe, yeah, I must have gone through my whole elementary school life at Lecce, because I don't remember going to an elementary school in East End. I went to Peabody High School after.
Mm-hmm. Did you go on to any further education after Peabody?
University of Pittsburgh.
Did you graduate?
Yes.
With a degree in what?
A B.S. No, but yes, I started business administration, then I went into education. No, I don't know whether that's a BS. It may not be.
Bachelor of Education.
Yeah, I think it's Bachelor of Science. Bachelor of Arts, maybe. I could look at my
blueprint.
It's not very far away.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Anyway, I'm not really sure what
your major was. Education.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was business administration, then I switched to education last year. Became a teacher.
Did you teach when you graduated?
Very little. I taught at, there was a school on Fifth Avenue that was in a church. And I taught there, I think one summer school. And then I taught at Gladstone Elementary in the evening through one winter.
What did you?
Oh, not Elmer, it must have been Gladstone High School. I know it was over there at Gladstone. It must have been on Greenfield Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I taught typing and shorthand.
To adults?
Yes, it was an evening course.
Oh,
yes.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. Were there any teachers as you were growing up? I know you went to school now for a lot of years, but were there any teachers that stand out to you?
Miss Brennan, who taught history in the sixth grade and made us memorize the whole history. And Miss Frank, who I believe was a Frank of the very prominent Franks here, who was a short, heavy-set lady, very, very strict. I remember her very well. I can't remember exactly what I particularly remember about her. But
which
I just,
school do you remember?
This was
Lecce.
This was Lecce School. Those are the two teachers that stand out in my mind from my...
Any friends from your school days that you can remember?
No.
Was it mostly family that was important to your life?
No, I had lots of friends around, but I don't remember them particularly because when we moved away from there, my life went to the East End, and that was the change.
Any friends then from your high school or college days?
High school, yes. I had a friend by the name of Ethel Jacobson. She doesn't live here anymore. She lives in Arizona. Trying to think who the others were in high school. I don't have too many from college. I had lots of friends, but not very many close friends. And because when I was through with college, my life took me into an entirely different area. I never had any continuity with my friends who were in.
Tell me a little bit about them. What happened after college?
Well, that was 1934, and it was very hard to get jobs. And I was doing this teaching. I decided I wanted a job, and I went up to the employment office of the University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
They had just previously gotten a call from the Pittsburgh Symphony Society saying that this was September. They had one girl in the office, that this was their busy time, and that they needed a helper, a second helper.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down and I was engaged and helped them through their fall weeks of renewing season tickets and whatever was required. And after several months, this young lady left. So that left me in that position. And that was the year I also taught night school, because I really had no daytime job for sure.
Uh-huh.
But after that, I stayed with the Pittsburgh Symphony and I gave up teaching. I didn't complete.
So have you been at the Pittsburgh Symphony?
I was there from 1934 to 1951, mm-hmm. 17 years. Started out with just myself in the office. And by the time I left, there was myself and the manager, who wasn't even there, Edward Spector, whose name is well known in Pittsburgh. He was the manager, but he didn't even spend all the time there. And by the time I left in 51, there were three other girls and an assistant manager. And then, of course, it's history since then. Now it's tremendous.
Right.
It's a big, big organization.
I'm sure we'll get back more to the symphony and your career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Edris is going to ask you a lot of questions about that. Let's go back to growing up years again and talk about health. I want to know specifically about your health, your sister's, your parents' health, any medical problems?
My health was good and my sister's health was good. I can't remember. Oh, we had all the childhood diseases like scarlet fever and chicken pox. And in those days, they put a sign on your door
mm-hmm.
when you had, this is probably all, you're both too young to know anything about this. They put a sign on your door, and not until either the public health doctor
the quarantine officer
would come by and see that you were okay before you could take it off.
It might have been a good idea.
Huh? It probably was. You stayed home. We had all the childhood, I guess, chickenpox and scarlet fever and whatever, German measles, we must have had them all. But generally, I think our health.
What about the health of your parents?
My father was in very good health. My mother was too. Maybe she wasn't. She might have had some kind of a lung weakness because she did have to go away to the mountains at one time. She eventually died at age 51 from pneumonia. At that time, there were no antibiotics,
right.
No penicillin. So she eventually died of pneumonia at the age of 51. So I think she must have had some kind of a weakness, a lung weakness, and I'm not sure exactly.
How long did your father live?
Till age 67.
What about your brothers?
Well, one lived till he was in his, till 78. One lived until he was around 35. Another 72, another about probably 63, I mentioned four. Oh, and then one died around the age of 24, but that was from an accident after
mm-hmm.
surgery. That was when I was just a teenage girl. So it was all different.
Why was he having surgery?
I think it was appendicitis, as I remember, and he fell off, he was brought home, and or he fell off the bed in the hospital or at home, I can't remember, and the accident was the cause of his death.
We've talked a little bit about growing up in
mm-hmm.
school and
mm-hmm.
friends and
mm-hmm.
family. Can you remember what you did for fun?
Oh, we played, we roller skated on Wiley Avenue.
At a rink?
No, oh please, on the sidewalk in front of the old Kennedy Library there.
Okay.
We played, gosh, what do you call it, cat and paddle? No. You took a little end of a broomstick, about 4 inches long, and you placed it in an angular position, and you had another stick, and you hit it. And we used to play that all the time. I guess we must have played, we played Run, Sheep, Run all over the hill. You probably know
run,
what.
Sheep,
run,
run,
Sheep, Run.
Uh-huh.
That means you had two teams, and one team hid all over, I mean, blocks and blocks around, and the other one had to find them.
Uh-huh.
And you ran all over. And in those days, you could go out at night, you could do whatever you wanted to. That was another great thing, Run, Sheep, Run. I remember that real well. I loved
it. I think
that
you're in such good condition today because you did seem to play and run around.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, and I danced at the Ikes when I was a little girl, too.
You took dance lessons, you mean?
Oh, sure, from Ella Wertheimer.
From
whom? Ella Wertheimer, whose name, again, doesn't mean nothing to you, but she was a well-known name in connection with the Ikes. And Anna Loft Perlow was my music, that was involved with music at that time.
Hmm.
And Sidney Teller was the director. course, these were all the people who really ran this center for the Jewish community, and it was a Jewish center in every sense of the word. I mean, this is where people went, the children went.
What about vacations? Did your family take vacations?
No, I don't remember. Oh, my sister and I, we'd go to the Emma Farm for 2 weeks.
One of the interesting things that I heard about Emma Farm was when you went to camp then, they weighed you in,
right,
and they hoped that you would gain weight. And today, you know, the opposite is true. Parents send their children to camp hoping that they will lose weight.
Yeah.
Is that true? Did that happen?
Yeah, I know we got weighed in. I can't remember that we were encouraged to eat. We didn't need to be encouraged to eat. But, I don't remember my mother and father going away, except that they had, my mother had sisters in Cleveland, and she would sometimes go and visit them. My father had one sister who lived in Connecticut, New Haven, and he would once in a while go and visit her, but there was no business of packing up the family and going off somewhere. The only packing up we did was packing a basket on a Sunday, and getting on a streetcar and going to Highland Park for a picnic. That was it. On a streetcar.
When we talked about camp, how long a period of time was the camp for, do you remember?
Well, they were like 2 weeks. You went on a Sunday and come back. Oh, wait a minute. I can't remember. It was like, I think you went on a Sunday and then almost 2 whole weeks and you came back on a Friday.
Sabbath.
Well, I imagine they had to clean up the camp for the next gang, too.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about dating. I know that you did marry, but maybe before you met your husband. Did you start dating in high school, college? Did you date a lot of people?
Well, the first thing I remember going to little parties and things was when I was about 16 years old. Mm-hmm. This was parties in the neighborhood. Nobody had cars. Wait, there was somebody who had a car. No, I don't think so. And then, eventually, I dated different boys, of course, never serious with anyone. And in those days, it wasn't like it is now, where they get a strong, you know, most young people now have one person that they date and stay with them until whatever happens. It falls apart, or they start to live together, or whatever. But in those days, there was no such thing as having one boyfriend unless you were engaged.
Tell me about meeting your husband.
Oh, well, that's a sweet story. I worked for the Pittsburgh Symphony in the office, and he was engaged. He was from New York, was engaged to come here. The first time they got importations for the orchestra, when the orchestra became a major orchestra, they had to import musicians from New York or wherever else, and he was one of the ones. And I was known as Miss Mattis in those days. No one called anybody by their first name. It had a reputation for being very rigid and untouchable. My husband made a bet with his friends, his other musician friends, that he was going to get a date with Miss Mattis. So he came up to the office on some pretense. And the first thing he did was come around and kiss me on the cheek. I was so surprised. Well, Ed just knows, didn't he? And he said, let's have a date on Friday night. What was Friday night? There was a concert anyway. So, and I had a ticket because I worked there. Anyway, we did have a date Friday night. I went to the concert, he played, and then we went out for supper afterwards with a group of musicians, which was their customary thing to do after every concert, in those days especially. All the group of the musicians would go out for something to eat.
What instrument did you play?
Viola.
Do you remember when you were recording, where did you go out to eat?
Villa Desk, mainly.
Oh, one place mainly?
Mainly Villa Desk. They lived in the Craig Street area because they concerts with Syria Mosque and those.
Uh-huh.
And at that time he was living in a boarding room. on Morwood Avenue. And their whole group of them, they were all young, you know, they were in their 20s, all young musicians. And they lived in that area. So we would go either to Villa d'Este or sometimes to the Luna at Craig and Center. Then there was another restaurant, and I've forgotten the name of it, also on Craig Street, that was quite well known. But mostly, if it was a cheapie, we'd go to the Luna's. If there was more money, we'd go to the Villa d'Este.
All right, Andrews, are we almost finished with this side of the tape? Is there anything you want to ask? Did I forget anything so far?
I don't think so.
All right, so why don't you flip the tape?